This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Unabashed, candid conversations on all things talent. In this podcast, we have open, honest and unapologetic conversations about the emergent realities of work, worker and the workplace. I'm Neha Pant, part of the Knowledge and Advisory team at Sherm India. And I have with me Abhijeet Bhadari, who's a coach, a talent management advisor, and an author. Abhijeet, have I got your introduction right?
Yeah, but last time you sort of said that I am unemployed and then quickly changed it to self-employed. So was that meant to be an apology? Because this is unapologetic conversations.
Of course not. I was having an unapologetic conversation. And, you know, you can be unemployed, you can be self-employed. And I'm guessing you're also a gig worker, a freelancer. My God, you wear multiple hats, don't you?
No, they are all very different. So you know, there is a world of a difference. If you're a gig worker, you're employed through a platform, which I'm not. So I'm not a gig worker. Also, in case of
I remember you called yourself a gig artist at one point.
So gig you artist not be a is gig different, worker? Yes. Yes,
but are you a gig artist? All right, so why don't you tell us the difference between all of these terms?
Let's start with that. Gig artist is anyone who's doing the creative work on a freelance basis. So I'm a freelancer who works in some of these creative things. So I, you know, get paid for my writing and drawing. So that's a gig artist kind of a role. But otherwise, you know, I see myself as a freelancer because a freelancer goes direct to the customer, in which case the individual, you know, who's delivering the service, that really matters. Whereas in a gig work, you don't really worry about whether person A drives your cab or person B drives your cab. And you call the person through a platform. So that's the gig work. I mean, you have temporary contractors, you know, you have so people who are, you know, working for a particular firm. And then that firm sort of hires you out to other clients. So there's a range of things. So yes, it is. There are many things. So you can decide now which one you want to call me. So self-employed is also true. Freelancer is also true.
You've set the record straight yourself. So self-employed, gig artist and freelancer. You won't like to be called a gig worker. Is that correct?
No. I have no problem with that. It's, you know, so for example, I have done some of the work through a platform called Upwork. You know, so when I did that, in that particular role, I was a gig worker because the work came to me through the platform. And then, you know, I got paid through the platform. So yes, I have been a gig worker as well. Gig work initially used to be only for blue collar work. Now it's also true for white collar jobs. Not just that, I was talking to one of the headhunters the other day and he was talking about this whole new trend that there are even the C-suite. They're looking for people for short durations that, you know, they're sort of looking to hire a CEO full time. In between, they want an experienced person who can manage that particular role and take a couple of decisions to keep the thing going. So even for the CEO role or CMO role, I have heard about, these are all, you know, people are experimenting with these little short duration contracts. So
no, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I've become a gig worker myself. And right. If you know, this work from anywhere was to sort of, you know, really evolve in the future, then all full-time workers who can, you know, work from anywhere would most likely work like a gig worker, isn't it?
Where would you work? Where would you rather work from?
I would definitely run to the nearest hill station, and Himachal happens to be my favorite. So, of course, you know, I would love to, you know, if it's possible to do, you know, work from anywhere, then, you know, I would love to move out of my city, you know, live somewhere near the mountains, you know, work 5 days and weekends, maybe go for a hike and do things that I really enjoy doing in the mountains. So yeah, I mean, that's the kind of life I would like to live. And I think some people have already taken to that. But, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to evolve in the future. I mean, are employers, you know, would they be okay with an idea like this? Because, you know, so far the way work from home was viewed definitely has changed thanks to the pandemic. But can you really now look at work from anywhere? Considering if you're working from home, you don't really have to be in a particular city.
I think the pandemic has changed. You know, there are, as I kind of say that, if there are 5 dimensions where you decide to do the work. So one is time. You know, so everybody in the pre-pandemic time used to come in and into the office at the same time. So, you know, 9 to 5, 8 to 6, whatever be your time. that's fixed. Your location was fixed, that you either walked into the head office or the branch office, wherever you're working from. For most people, at least in white collar jobs, pay and benefits are a byproduct of that. So, for example, if you're working in the city, say in Mumbai, you get a house rent allowance, which is different from what you would get, say, in Nagpur or somewhere other city. Pay and benefits was linked to that. But also the other dimension is the way you are managed. Are you managed through the platform? Are you managed through a contractor? Are you managed directly? Is your contract directly with the person you are providing the service or goods to? So that, I think these are the five elements which all of them have changed. So yes, I think, Neha, you're in luck. I think you should begin to see a lot more acceptance of, you know, work from anywhere. This is going to take some time, because I think eventually, even when we come back in the, assuming that there's a vaccine which is going to get developed and available, I think it'll still be a hybrid workplace. It's not going to be entirely one or the other. You will still have to come back and work out of the city for at least some durations. But yes, I think you should be able to do more and more time in other parts of the world. Yes.
No, that would be lovely if that were to happen. And I think, you know, as Josh Person put it, so the alternative workforce is not so alternative anymore. You know, and he spoke about in this recent white paper that I read, which was published by HRPS, you know, how he talked about how, you know, organizations will have to move from the mentality of employee engagement to a total workforce experience. So I'm sure, you know, in future, like you're also mentioning, organizations will be more inclusive of the gig workers, right? So, but how do they do that is something that we'll all have to watch. I was just wondering if, you know, because you, you know, work independently and you work with multiple organizations, have you picked up anything that organizations are doing differently when it comes to engaging, you know, the alternative workforce, so to say?
Yeah, I think, you know, the terms like alternative workforce, fluid workforce, liquid workforce, these are all, you know, terms which people are using to create a kind of a proprietary term, but they eventually mean the people who are not necessarily on your payrolls and who are working for different durations of time. So, yes, you are beginning to see that. I mean, India, for example, if you see that in many of the fields, example, you know, human resources, content, design, marketing, programming, translation, these actually are being done increasingly by you know, people who are not on the rolls of the organization. So yes, you are seeing a lot of that, because India, China, Indonesia and Brazil are the four biggest places where this alternative workforce is really almost more than a 30% part of the population, the working population. So it is huge. I mean, India, if you sort of look at everything from, you know, in blue collar jobs, if you see whether it's the ride sharing or delivery services or multiple things, you know, small services at home, you know, Urban Clap provides many of these services. So many of them, you know, there are even education is being now made available increasingly. You can get coached online. I think everything has, you know, it's going to go pretty much like the way books went. You will have the paperback. Yes, of course. Yeah. And so, you know, you will also have your ebook. So in the same way, you will have some services provided in person, but you will have a lot of it done virtually. So I think it will be a hybrid model for sure. So a hybrid work model will demand a hybrid work.
Absolutely. And then in that sense, you know, involving these independent workers and, you know, really providing them with that psychological safety, I think will become of prime importance in the future. And now, you know, when we are also seeing that, you know, a lot of full-time workers, you know, if they decide to also move around and work from anywhere, then I'm wondering, how is this going to really look like? And, you know, there was one more thing that you mentioned, that, you know, alternative workforce, liquid workforce and all of these terms. Are we really coining these terms just because, you know, gig doesn't sound that great anymore?
Yeah, I think gig has an element of, you know, the New York Times actually said something very, very fascinating. They said it's just that gig harnesses the advances in software and behavioral science to old-fashioned worker exploitation. So, you know, it's just a very powerful term that they have used. New York Times says that because many of these people, we sort of make a big deal out of the flexibility that they have. But we don't talk about the fact that many of these people are really paid so poorly and there are no health benefits. So whenever somebody talks about, you know, look at the flexibility, it's almost like you're punishing the people for that flexibility by taking away their medical benefits, etc., which is so important in a country like ours. We don't have social security. So if someone loses their job And so many people today, you know, who've been impacted by the pandemic are sort of moving into doing stuff on their own. I think it's important for employers to be able to figure out a way that can we provide, if nothing else, at least healthcare insurance to everyone. Yeah. Universal healthcare insurance, I think, is just vital for people to do that, you know, not just for the employees, but also the alternative workforce.
No, which is why I think, you know, that term struck with me, you know, the total workforce experience. How do you really give them those benefits? And, you know, they have, especially, you know, I don't know now if I can use the gig workers term anymore, but, you know, the alternative workforce, the liquid workforce, as we have engaged with them so far, you know, they have not been beneficiary of, you know, any of these things that you talked about, right? So health policies or any other benefits that a full-time employee may get. So in that sense, I think, yeah, this model would evolve and we will move towards, you know, the total workforce experience.
Yeah, but there is an interesting dimension that I think you need to sort of think about. Is that you are now trying to bypass the gig work term and look at alternative workforce.
Because you made me conscious about that. You
no, said not conscious, but it's just that evolving. Because our concept of work is that it is something which is structured, fixed for weekday of the month. You know, whereas for the gig workers or the freelancers or the, you know, contract workers, etc., all of them, you know, it is really not just what you do on the days when you are getting paid for, but also how you use your time on the days when you are not getting paid for it. You know, the blank time, it's vital in the case of the gig worker or the freelancer, because that is the time when you actually rejuvenate, you upskill yourself, you market the products, you create different things. Because one of the major challenges of this alternative workforce is, you know, that the degree of isolation that the people feel, you know, the kind of challenges that they feel in terms of their legal rights, because many of them, when they go to work with large employers, large firms, they just get pushed around by a purchase department, which, you know, brings them down to such a bare bones kind of an existence. It's really embarrassing. And so, you know, I think these are some of the challenges that the self-employed people face.
Abhijit, so then there is this school of thought as well that, you know, you chose to be a gig worker, right? I mean, you could, if you need that kind of security, you can choose to work full time as well. Now, both the models.
I think a lot of people may not have that choice. You know, you are assuming that everybody has that choice, because there are people who need to, you know, the single moms, for example, you know, who have no choice today but to be a gig worker or freelancer, because, you know, they didn't need to look after a ailing parent or in-law or somebody at home who needs care. And they also need to manage childcare, you know, because daycare centers are not open anymore, you know, for a lot of places. So for multiple reasons, and sometimes it's also a choice. People may like to be able to do more than one thing in a certain kind of a time. Okay. I think when you look at that, there is part choice, part compulsion, part constraint. We are no longer in a very binary world anymore, because even something which used to be binary, for example, gender, you know, growing up, one always sort of thought that gender was binary, that it's either male or female. And now you kind of realize that it's along a kind of a continuum. Yeah. You know, so when you think about that, the fluidity is coming into every aspect, not just gender, but also your nature of work, your you know, the skills that you have. So there are people who work in a particular full-time job during the day. In the evening, they work as stand-up comedians in a club, not just for the money, but also to, you know, for their soul, because sometimes the work that they're doing doesn't do much for the soul. So
I think you are right in that sense. The good man Josh Burstyn also said organizations will have to boost the psychological safety of, you know, the independent workers, and will have to move from this, you know, just this transactional and economic relationship that they have with the gig workers to a more strategic and a collaborative one. And I think, you know, then it sort of fosters an organization culture that will welcome ideas, not just from your employees, but also from the alternative workforce, and will build like a more positive, relationship amongst them. So, yeah, I think a point well taken. And I think I've understood now that you are a freelancer, a gig artist, gig worker sometimes, alternative workforce, liquid workforce, and all the terms that you talked about today. So, yes, I will remember that. And yes, I don't know if I called you unemployed, but I definitely
you
said
did. You know, anyone who doesn't believe me has to go back to that first episode and hear you say it. And so all the listeners, please go back and tell Neha that what
dare I call Abhijit Bhaduri unemployed.
Which also on some days is true. So, you know, it's not entirely untrue, but
I would love to play all those roles, Abhijit, myself. I think, you know, that's a great life to live, that you can really work on your own terms, do things as you like, you know, be unemployed one day, self-employed the next day, an artist another day. So, yeah, I think, you know, that those are all wonderful roles to play. But thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. And, you know, we will catch up again for another Unabashed Conversation. Until then, if you want to reach us, you can send us your queries on shermindia@shrm.org. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook and Instagram. I'm sure you already know Abhijit Bhaduri, and if you may be following him. If not, Abhijit, where do they reach you?
So they can reach me on Twitter, LinkedIn and Instagram @AbhijitBhaduri, AbhijitBhaduri. And it would be terrific if you have any questions, comments. You can even email me at abhijitbhaduri@live.com, L-I-V-E, live.com. So look forward to hearing from everyone. And thank you, Neha, for having me.
Perfect. So we'll catch you for another candid conversation next time. Until then, stay unabashed. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.